Fui pregado lá na cruz, junto a Cristo que morreu. Cristo agora vive em mim. Fui pregado lá na cruz, junto a Cristo que morreu. Cristo agora vive em mim. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. Jesus Christ now lives in me. Embrace the cross where Jesus suffered. Now it will cost all you claim is yours. Your sacrifice will seem small besides the trash. Eternity can measure what Jesus holds in store. Embrace the love the cross requires. Bring to the one whose heart knew every pain. Receive from Jesus fountains of compassion. Only He can fashion your heart to move as His. Oh, wondrous cross, Lord, this I rest in You. Lord Jesus, make this burden to face with courage as shame and disgrace. Your upon your shoulder. Embrace the life that comes from dying. Come trace the steps this Savior walked for you. An empty tomb concludes Golgotha's sorrow. Endured until tomorrow, your cross is suffering. Embrace the cross. Embrace the cross. The cross of Jesus.
It's a very special pleasure to be able to come back to this church again. And actually, we made the arrangements while we were at the conference.
Can you see? It's just a clip that's going to go on the tie, and he sticks it in the pocket. There's one.
What's that for?
We just have a backup just in case, because sometimes they get too.
Okay.
The word with you, and I will. Have to start it all over again?
No.
You can fall in.
I can.
Do you know how to operate them?
Have to turn it on?
Is it on?
Where were you at Sunday school? I forgot to use
them.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to share with you a little bit about our ministry down in Brazil. We are very happy to let you know that since the last time I came here, we have been starting two new Bible studies in different cities. One of the cities is Brusque. It's north of Tijucas, northwest Tijucas. And the work there We actually tried to start church in that place several years before, twice, or maybe three times. But it didn't work. For some reason, the Bible said it didn't go, and we had to quit. And then this time, I think it's coming, it's going. So Brusque is a city that is a lot of Germans there, and they have some of the Lutheran background, but also a lot of Catholic. And we are trying to start a new group there. Another group is down south of us, about 3 hours south, and we started that 2 years ago, when I went down there to buy a car. And I met this lady that I bought the car, and I shared the gospel with her, and she became very interested and involved. So she has been our contact, and through her, she has been inviting many people, and we have a good-sized group down there right now. So I want you to pray for those two churches that we're starting, and I pray that the Lord, especially for the church south of us, because until now we really didn't find any man capable to be trained for the ministry. So we are praying that the Lord will raise men down there so we can train them to be leading that work later on. And then we also like you to pray, especially for the 5 men that I'm training for the ministry in the city of San Juan Batista. And those 5 men has been a great joy. Every Friday we meet and we spend hours and hours and hours studying the Bible. We start 7:30 and then it goes all the way to sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning. And this is the day of the week that Carol never waits for me to get home because I will get too late. Anyway, so I will really appreciate your prayers about this ministry. And also, I'd like to share with you that this time we are really trying to develop the camp in Brazil. And we really know we need resources, I mean financial resources. And we have been praying to the Lord that something could be done. And this time when I came to the States, actually I spent some time working on a construction job in order to raise money, you know, so we can do something about this down there in Brazil. So help us with this. Help us praying for this, that the Lord will provide everything we need to make this dream that we have for so many years to become a reality. Okay. And now I would like to share with you something that I remember being in this church and sharing my heart concerning the 4 things that lead man to sin. Do you remember about this that I shared with you some time ago? What is the first thing that lead man to sin? Probably you forgot, right? Yeah, I don't even know how many years ago I preached on that. But the first thing that lead men to sin are lies. Right? It started in the garden, and the serpent tempted Eve, but she used something to tempt her. First, he used a lie, right? And then he gave her a true, and mixed the lie with the true. That's when the lie really is powerful because it's very deceitful. So the first thing that leads man to sin is lies. And this is the subject of our message today that I entitled A World Full of Lies. And we live in this world. And the second thing that leads man to sin are the temptations. We are tempted by Satan all the time. Right? And then, this is a pretty easy to understand. We don't need to go, just look around you and you'll see people being tempted every day, especially the believers, you know. And then
We have another thing that leads man to sin. That is a consequence of when man interacted with sin, he became under the law of sin. And the man, when he is under the law of sin, he is in his what we call sinful nature. We may call old man, something like that. So this is something that leads man to sin, because this the law of sin just take us there. And the final, the fourth thing will be the flesh. Well, what's the difference between the flesh and the old man? Now, the difference is that Adam already had flesh when he was created, right? Yeah. But when that flesh get in contact with sin, then he became old man. So, but we still have the flesh until today. And we know that when we get our new body, the spiritual body, and at the rapture and the resurrection, then we are not going to have this body anymore. This flesh will be done, right? But those four things lead men to sin all the time, right? Do you agree with me? Just go through the Bible. But you have a wonderful news from the Bible that make us free from the lies. What is it? The Bible said something about that. Do you recall John 8:31? Open your Bible. Check it out. And see, what does it say? Some of the people have this verse by heart. Who can quote that verse by heart? John 8:31. You know the truth. Yeah, I know you know it. And the truth will make you free. So the Lord, at 31 and 32. It is 32? Okay, I think I started there a little early because to get the context. But that's it. Okay, so you have that passage and you know that. And you know that God provides us the truth. Today we have the Bible in our hands. We have the Holy Spirit leading us into the truth. Why? Because God doesn't want us to be living in lies, right? And we know who is the father of lies, don't you? And the same chapter, 8:44, right? John 8:44 tell us who is the father of lies. Who is the father of lies? The devil, Satan. You know, he carry on several names, but we know Satan, devil, and the enemy. He's the prince, the chief of the principality of power and powers of the dark world. So this is very important to know that the Lord made us free from the lie when he gave us the truth. And that is how important for us to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And this is God's will. In 1 Timothy 2:4, the Lord tells us that he wants every man to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Some Bible use some come to the knowledge of the truth. But the working Greek is pleroma. That means the full knowledge, you know. So interesting, important for us to understand why God wants us to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Because knowledge is not just head knowledge. The word there means possession. We take possession of that truth. Because this is what's going to prevent us to live in lies. That's why we need to study the Bible. And that's not only the pastors, not only the leaders. It's each one of us. It's just God's will. It's every man to be saved. So we know that we should do. Well, actually, we should ask ourselves that question. What I do to make God's will to be fulfilled? What I'm doing concerning sharing the gospel or sharing this truth? What I'm doing concerning helping in the evangelism program in my church? What I'm doing concerning reaching out some of my relatives or leading people to come to church, like the brother said, I just invite him to church. Remember? You said that here this morning. Said, I just invite him to church. And then you didn't know, but the Lord was using you to bring this guy into the presence of a place where they talk about the gospel. And there are a lot of people that knows the gospel and know how to share. Some people don't have that those skills, but you know who can. So just what can you do? What can I do so people come to the full knowledge of the truth? Well, I don't know everything. I don't know either. But, you know, we should dig in the Bible, start getting prepared. Let's study and study and study. And following the example of the one that led me to the Lord, my father-in-law, I know all the way his life, every time, he was always studying the Bible. All the way. The last week before he died, or 2 weeks before he died, he was still teaching the Bible. I mean, he was hanging in those tubes and stuff and talking to several people and teaching the Bible just a couple of weeks before he died. And that was a great example. Always. There is no place we should stop studying the scriptures. So then, when we go and understand that, we know that the truth will make us free from the lies. Next point that I said, and I don't want you to go out here wondering, oh, what was those other three? So I said, you know, how can you be free from the temptations? You know, in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, or 10, 12, and 13, do you remember that passage? If you don't, grab your Bible, open there, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It says something about the temptations. And there are two very important things that is said in that verse. One of them is that the Lord God, our Savior, He will not permit, He will not allow Satan to tempt you above your strength. Isn't that true? Isn't that written there? Okay, if God will not allow Satan to tempt you above your strength, that means actually you were able to handle it. But he gave something more there. What else he gave there? He gave us what? He promised that he'll give a way to escape. So the Lord made us free from temptation. If you are willing to be free from temptation, trust the Lord. And believe in his word, and he'll not allow Satan to tempt you above your strength. So you do have the strength to bear the temptations. You do have. You think you don't, but you do. Well, I was in the flesh. Well, there's no excuse. Like I heard this morning, it was said here, right from this pulpit, it was said that there are the decisions we make. The decisions we make may lead us to different ways. You can walk in the spirit and you can walk in the flesh. It's your decision. And when you make this decision, the blame falls on us, right? Because there is no excuse for sin in the life of the believer today. There's no excuse. But a lot of people say, well, I'm still in the flesh. We all are. But the Bible always say too, the Bible said too, that our warfare, our wrestle is not against flesh and blood. So that means the enemies is out there and the world of darkness is out there. The flesh is not, because God gave us his Holy Spirit. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit so we can live in the Spirit. We don't have to. But you can choose. You can make a choice and do the wrong way. But then it's your fault. You can't blame God. So there's no excuse. There are four things that lead men to sin, and God made us free of all. Well, but what about the sinful nature? What about the old man? You know, I just can't. You can't. Because the Word of God tells you so. Listen, Romans 6:6. What does it say in Romans 6, 6? Do you know by heart? I ask you to read it because it's always hard for me to read this in English, you know, especially using the King James. But this one, I want to read it to you. It say, knowing this, listen up, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay, so in this specific time of history, we have no excuse for sin. No excuse for sin. When we sin, it's because we want it. We made the decision to go and sin. We made a decision to go and get this cigarette. We made a decision to go and drink or party or sexual unlawful desires and all kinds of stuff. We made the decision because we want to. God is not leading us this way. The Holy Spirit of God is not leading us that way, because he is calling us to sanctification. He's calling us to a pure life. He's calling us to serve him. He's calling us to use this body that he bought with a price. He bought it. It's not yours anymore. Yeah, that's true. A lot of people say, well, I do what I want. No, you can't. If you are doing what you want, you're going against God, because we were made new creation in Christ to serve the crucified one, to serve the one that died for us, right? So this is the message that I have to you today after this little introduction. Is that I told you that I need more time. Okay, so be prepared to skip lunch today. What was the first lie in humankind? Because we know something happened before concerning the angel, Satan. You know, something wrong happened before. But among us, mankind, when that first started, Genesis 3, and in verse 4, Satan told Eve, surely we will not die. That was a lie. Surely you are not going to die. That was a lie. But to make that lie really, really, really tempting and accepting, he said, also in verse 5, what this is, did he say? Like God, you're going to know about everything. Oh, that's tempting. I want to know. But that's true, because in verse 22 of the same chapter, the Lord himself, he said, see, now man became like us, knowing good and evil. And that was true. Actually, he did. But the problem was, to know good and evil, you got to be God. Man was not built for that. So that's why God told Adam, don't fool around with that tree. Don't go eat from that knowledge. Don't go get that knowledge. That's not good for you. It's just like bringing your car to the beach. It's not good for your car. You keep going to the beach with your car, and pretty soon you're going to have all rusted. And especially those electronic stuff, you get everything messy, and the car never works good anymore. But you see, because it was not built for that. Man, it was not built to deal with the knowledge of sin, unless he went to the next step before. I mean, the knowledge of the tree of eternal life that was in the garden, and the tree of life. If he ate from the tree of life before, then he'll have eternal life. And then, I don't know, but I don't think that will harm you, because then he'll be immersed into God's life. And that's going to be... But now, he was sent out of the garden because he was not able to serve God anymore. He lost the opportunity to serve God. So the lie led man to sin. And that was the first one. And just after that, the lies became to multiply. And today we live in a world full of lies. So then, man, I would like to make a little list of the lies that men believe today. A lot of lies that men believe today. I'm not talking about people out there. Even you, here in church. There are people who believe a lot of lies about himself. I'm not pretty. I'm ugly. I'm good for nothing. I can't serve the Lord. I'm no good. I don't know to do anything. Nobody loves me. Don't you believe some of those lies sometimes? And you think too little about yourself? Knowing that you were made servants of God, and God gave you the power of the Holy Spirit and His power to work through you, and you say you are good for nothing. That's not right. You're good for many things. God transformed you into a new man. So this is a lie. But many times we believe, low self-esteem. I'm not trying to make you believe in self-esteem, but we understand that with the Lord, we can do everything. God is the one who strengthens us, right? So, but there are a lot of people that believe that he can do everything with his own body because it belongs to him. I already told you that. The body does not belong to us. In 1 Corinthians 3:19-20, we know that we're bought with a price. We were bought with a price, so our body belongs to the Lord, so we can't do everything we want with this body anymore, any longer. Actually, as creation of God, we are created to serve Him in first place. So there was never a place that we were designed to serve ourselves. He reminded us in the school, Sunday school message, that the whole law of God was structured in two basic laws. God, love your God with all your strength. Love means give Him yourself. Give Him. Give everything to Him. And then love your neighbors as yourself. Give yourself to the neighbors. Love one another. So we are here to serve. There is no way, a different way. We are here to serve. Husbands, we are here to serve our wives. Wives, you are here to serve your husbands. To serve your husbands. And when you're doing this, you're serving the Lord. Because you're serving one another. We as parents, we're serving our kids. Kids, we are serving our parents. We are here to serve. So important. Lies that men believe about themselves. We have to straight that out, remembering that we are not to follow first man. We are not supposed to identify ourselves with the first man, because we are called to be in the image of the second man. The second man is the Christ, the one who died for us. He paid for our sins. We're called to bear His image. We're called to, like, be imitators or to be followers of Christ. To let Christ's glory shine through you. So this is the truth about our image. The image we should bear. And there's a lot of lies that we believe about yourself, being a man or being a woman. And there's a lot of lies that we permeate our society today concerning man and what he believes about himself. So let's think about the lies that people believe about God. There's a lot of lies people believe about God. Oh, yeah. You know, I used to believe God was a very severe and very justice God with like a big beard and ready to punish every sin, you know, you did. And I didn't know that God is a God of wrath, but he's also a God of love. I didn't know the extent of God's character. So we believe many lies about God's character. We believe lies about God's attributes. We believe lies about, well, most of us, we don't believe those lies anymore, about Trinity. I call three unity. Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Some people don't believe we believe in one God, not three gods. Yeah. Three unity doesn't say that. Three unity say one God in three persons, and we believe that. But a lot of people don't believe in that. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in that. Some other sects out there don't believe in those things. So there's a lot that people believe about God that's not true. And when we go through the Bible, we are going to find that God is always bringing aspects of his character, his attributes, through the Bible as we read. He's the great I Am. What I Am means? He exists. He is the Lord. He owns the universe. He is the only one that can say I Am, because he's the only God. There's no other gods. So when you believe there are other gods, then you are not believing the God I Am, because he's the one. If you say God, he'll say I Am. There's nobody can say I Am but him, because he is the only God. And that God has been manifested in Christ Jesus. I like the Hebrews 1. Open Hebrews 1. In verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, who he has appointed her of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and an express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. This verse say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the expressed image of his person. Express for you, what does that mean? Like express service? No, it's not the meaning that I want. In Portuguese, express, we use the word, the English word express, for the same, like express service, very fast thing. But we should think about expression. The resembled. Oh, wow. See, I have some words that I don't, can't. So, he's the brightness of his glory and the express image. I mean, when you look to Christ, you're looking to God. We're looking to Christ. His character, his attributes, everything is right there. You can touch it. You can see it. That's him. So that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said himself, he said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. He is the expression of God in himself. God made man. You know, he made. And this is beautiful. I love this. And more than that, we're going to hear a little later, but let's go on. Then, about the Bible, lies that people believe, lies of men believe about the Bible. How many lies people believe about the Bible? Some people believe there are some translations that are better than the others, but some people worship translations too. You know, come to the point that they put a translation above God. This is awful. And there are several problems about translation, and we know, and as we study about translation, and we're going to find out there are better translations, and there are not so good ones. But it's very interesting to know that we need to have balance. We should not allow those issues to divide, to be divisive among Christians. We have to be careful. And so some people, they question the origin of some books of the Bible. Some people believe that James was not inspired. He was the brother of Jesus, that he didn't even believe in the Lord before. How come he can't write a book? You know, some people have some restraints to believe in some books of the Bible. And some people have difficulties and accepting some of those writings. And we understand that through the history of church, they believe a lot of lies about Scripture. The author, who is the author? So a lot of people say, oh, that Bible was written by man. This is a big lie. It was not written by man. God used man's hands to write as an instrument, but the authorship is the Lord. So we understand. And I like to, when I talk to people in Brazil, because there's a lot of spiritism going on in Brazil. And you know what they have? They call the como é que fala em português? Fala alto. Psicografia. Psicografia in Portuguese means psychographic. That psychographic means a spirit led you to write this. But they call the gospel according to Allan Kardec, the book of the spirit is fall. They use the, what they call the Spiritans of White Table, those guys that follow Kardec. And Kardec, I don't know how you pronounce, but it's a French name, Kardec. This guy, supposedly, he wrote influenced by spirits. Actually, the Bible was written by God, in the Spirit of God, not Kardec's book. But this one here. This is the only one, the only book that was written. God himself was driving that pen. You know. And so, there's a lot of things that people believe about. Sometimes people believe that, well, I don't need to read the Old Testament. This is history. This is, no. We learn in the Sunday school message today that the whole scriptures, remember the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy saying that all the scriptures are profit for reproof and for everything. So all men be equipped. So he can do all the good works. And then more as we go through, you will find out that when we study the scriptures, more we study, more we realize how much we need the scriptures. So we should not believe those lies about, well, I don't have to study. Let the pastor do it. Let those people that are gifted to study, I really don't need that. This is a big lie. We all need the scriptures. So then we have lies about marriage. Marriage is the like in the creation days, that was the last thing that God created. He created marriage. And after he did that, he said, it was very good. Because when he created the other things, he always said, and God saw that was good. But after he created marriage, he said, that was very good. Yeah, I like that. Because we all agree. If you are married, and if you are listening to God's word concerning the instructions for your marriage, you know there is no better thing. It's great. So we should not believe those lies that Satan put it in the world, say, well, you don't want to get married. No, no. The world say that because they want you to take all the advantage of the good things from marriage without having the having this commitment. They want to say no for the commitment, that, but they want to take the all the good things that God blessed the marriage. Those blessings are for married people only, not. So there is a lot of lies about the role of man in marriage. There's a lot of lies about the role of the woman in marriage. A lot of women wants to be the head of the marriage. And a lot of men wants to give women the responsibilities. Ah, you do it. You know, it's very important for us to understand the role of men and women in marriage and how they should love each other as Christ loved the church. It's Ephesians 5 is just wonderful instructions concerning marriage and concerning the relationship between the Lord and the church. Of course, we know that our relationship with God is very important, but we know also that God comes before church and marriage is between. I mean, you should not leave your wife home alone, or your wife should not leave your husband home alone because you think church is more important than marriage. And if you are teaching Bible studies, if you are teaching, if you're being a pastor, you should know that the first pieces of the rebanhos, the flock. The first, it's your own family. You should minister first to your family and then the rest of the church. Because your church, you and your wife and your kids, is a basic church, you know, right? And if you do not do this, then church will suffer because you are not following God's instruction concerning marriage. So there's a lot of people that believes a lot of lies about marriage, about the feelings. Very, very sad. But then there's also a lot of people that believes lies concerning raising kids. Some people really believe they just grow automatically and they know everything automatically. Just for like osmos, they stay with us, they'll just learn everything. So you don't really have to teach them, you know. They'll figure out. They will not. Among creation, we see that there are birds, you know, when the bird have the nest and they lay some eggs there, and the babies grow, and they feed the babies, and they start flying, never to be seen again. And actually, when they start flying, they already know everything about, and they never learn. The birds don't go to school to learn how to fly, and they just don't know it. Like you say, by instinct. Instinct, and they do everything. You don't have to teach a dog to swim, right? You just throw them in the water, they'll be swimming. They know. I thought the lizards don't swim. You know, they are desert animals, you know, so they probably don't know how to swim. And until one day I saw one lizard crossing the pond. It just swim over the pond. They know. How they know? We grow and we have to have somebody to teach us how to swim, how to ride a bicycle, how to speak, how to... We have to learn everything. So why do we think our kids will learn about life if we don't teach them? The problem is they learn more when they see us doing. And that's where they learn a lot of bad things. Well, they're born with a sinful nature and they actually will sin. You don't have to teach them that. They will know. You don't have to teach them to sin. But you have to teach everything else. So there is a lot more responsibility in the father and the mother. And each one in the family play a special role. Well, that's why down in Brazil, I felt the need to have a parenting course to teach this at church all the time. And we do. We just, before we came here, we just have our graduation with all the parents that went through the parenting course we teach down there. And it's very important because we have to be careful. And also, I will finish our message before you start leaving. Sharing with you, there's a lot of lies that people teach, that people talk about doctrine. Some people think that doctrine is something only intellectual. It's something that you gotta learn, you gotta understand intellectually. This is not doctrine. Doctrine is something that you learn the concept and apply. If you learn the concept and you didn't apply, actually you didn't learn. You didn't learn. You have to apply. Like, I can teach you how to play the guitar. Does anybody want to learn the guitar in about 15 minutes? Oh, no, no, that's all I have. But anyway, if I get the guitar and start showing it to you, this is how we make the chord C. This is D. And this is F. And this is G. I can show you. And then you say, yes, I learned how to play the guitar. I know now. You not even touched it yet. Right. And then you get home and you get the guitar. How was that again? Yeah. Well, I saw his fingers here, but what he did with this. It was something so beautiful. And now I can, it sounds weird. Because actually, you need to practice everything. Everything you learn, it comes up here and goes to your heart and then goes to your body. I mean, your body should respond to those teachings. Yes. So when the Bible says love one another, you have to make that decision to love someone else. You have to make that decision. If you don't make that decision, you are not loving. Oh, but I feel. No, love is not feeling. You can feel great. When I got here, I met some familiar faces and I met some people that I never knew before. I felt loved. People came smiling to me and want to hug me. Oh, I love that. That's good. Okay. But there are some people that didn't say much. Maybe they need some help. maybe you need to go there and talk to them. Maybe you need to go there and offer your love and offer your care. There is a lot of lies that people believe about doctrine. Of course, there are a lot of false teaching out there. But there is that need of balance and learning and practicing. I remember a chart that I got at BBI. They have the scale with those two plates. And doctrine and practice, they need to be balanced. If they are not, you have the tendency to be proud because you know so much. But you don't practice anything. So you are just a hypocrite. Right? That's what the Lord said about all those Pharisees and Sadducees. They're just hypocrites. Because they say a lot of stuff, but they don't practice anything. They condemn people. You're doing this and that, but they're doing the same. So they're not practicing. The Bible says that the doers of the law are the real Israelites, right? The doers of the law, the guys that do what they said. So it's very important. I think this is one of the most important concepts of doctrine that we should... The lie about doctrine, that people think that we got to go to church to learn the scriptures. So they sit there and listen and memorize verses and anything and go there and fight with his wife and kick his children and drive like insane and do all kinds of stuff. And he thinks he's doing well because he's really memorizing the scriptures while he was driving crazy. You know. That doesn't make sense. So think about this. And now finally, there are false teachings, like the tulip. Who knows the tulip? They're a beautiful, beautiful flower, right? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the five Calvinist, you know, ideas. Oh, no, there are some consideration we should read and learn about those men of God that led the churches in the past. And sometimes their reasoning was pretty good. Sometimes they weren't. So we need to stay stay with the scriptures. And that means to be a Berean. You don't have to say rightly dividing the words of truth 10 times so people know you are okay. Some people only think that you are okay, especially us on the grace movement. We think that if the pastor doesn't say rightly dividing the 10 times in his message, he's not so good. No. And this Bernard, he comes from Brazil. I didn't see him reading much of the scriptures in his preaching. He's just talking. He's a bubbler. Actually, I am sometimes. But doctrine, dispensationalism is milk, people. Dispensationalism is milk. The solid food you need to learn is those truths that change your behavior, change your life. Those doctrines, that's a solid food. When change your behavior, when change your attitudes concerning yourself, concerning others, and the church in general. This is strong food. And if you spend time with the letters of Paul, you're going to find out that he spent much more time trying to change your behavior than to giving all those differences about different masses and different gospels. There are great differences about the different gospels in the Bible, and it's very important for us to know that. Especially know that we are under the dispensation of grace, and we are under the gospel of the grace of God. We need to understand that. And we need to understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ was down here, he was not talking about himself. He was teaching people the message he received from God, the Father. But after he did the work of redemption, then God decided to glorify the Son. And God decided to put the Son above everything. And now the Son will deliver a message. And the son that delivered a message, he needs a messenger. And that is Paul, just a messenger, just a mailman. You know, he just delivered to us what he received from Christ glorified above everything. So do you think there's a difference in the two gospels? Of course they are. Because if God desires to magnify his son, so the son's message, it's higher. And when the people talk about to love one another, the commandment of the Old Testament, there is a comparison. It's not a pattern. Love one another as you love yourself, right? This is the Old Testament. What did the Apostle Paul, what Christ told us through the Apostle Paul? Love as Christ loved the church. Did you see the change in the pattern? Here, we are loving as I love myself. The pattern is really low. But here, we should love as Christ loved the church. That's quite a difference. Those are changes in those gospels that made me. It's a big change. And then you, when you pay attention to the letters of the Apostle Paul, I think they are so concentrated. They have so much in those verses. And when we read the gospel, you kind of know that it's kind of like milk. Like light milk, you know, the slim milk? Skim milk. You know, it's kind of, but when you fall into Paul, it looks like condensed milk. I mean, a lot of it, I think, it's just pure solid food sometimes. And there's so much in those, and when you read Colossians, Philippians, or Ephesians, it's so much in there. It takes forever to go through this book with so many I have to say. But now before people start stoning me like they stoned Stephen, I better quit. But I want you to grasp this idea. The world is full of lies. And we're called to the truth. To this, so we can get rid of those lies. So try to think more about yourself and the lies that you should not believe anymore. Try to think about we are called to be in the image of Christ and follow him as Paul followed Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's pray.